Okay, welcome back, everyone. I have no idea what we're sitting in here. There shall be showers of blessings, and when we all get to heaven, which one's first? I guess. Put it back in the room so everybody can see the music. Okay, there shall be showers of blessings, number 558, and then when we all get to heaven is number 467.
There shall be showers of blessings, this is the promise of us. There shall be Jesus refreshing, and from the Savior above. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops from the sky falling, but for the showers we cling. There shall be showers of blessing, precious providing again. Over the hills and the valley, sounds of abundance will ring. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops from us are falling, but for the showers we cling. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come now and honor your word. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops from the sky falling, but for the showers we cling. There shall be showers of blessings, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now is the Jesus we call. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops from the sky falling, but for the showers we cling.
Okay. When we all get to heaven is number 467, I think. I don't know what it is in the room, but I'm pretty sure it's 467.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the present life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, to his view
Amen. And amen.
Hi all, happy Sabbath. Today's children's story was provided to me by our lovely Bonnie, and it is called Nail in the Fence. There once was a little boy who had a bad temper. His father gave him a bag of nails and told him that every time he lost his temper, he must hammer a nail into the back of the fence. The first day, the boy had driven 37 nails into the fence. Over the next few weeks, as he learned to control his anger, the number of nails hammered daily gradually dwindled down. He discovered it was easier to hold his temper than to drive those nails into the fence. Finally, the day came when the boy didn't lose his temper at all. He told his father about it, and the father suggested that the boy now pull out one nail for each day that he was able to hold his temper. The days passed, and the young boy was finally able to tell his father that all the nails were gone. The father took his son by the hand and led him to the fence. He said, "You have done well, my son, but look at the holes in the fence. The fence will never be the same. When you say things in anger, they leave a scar just like this one. You can put a knife in a man and draw it out. It won't matter how many times you say, 'I'm sorry,' the wound is still there. A verbal wound is as bad as a physical one." The end. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Thank you. Lee was just saying, we've got that story in our little book. She was saying, yeah, it's the kid with the nails in the fence.
So,
anger management. Amen. Okay, if you can kneel where you're at, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us where we need to be blessed. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins, cleansing us from unrighteousness, and blessing us with the latter rain, as your scripture says we should pray for. Father, we want to go forth and glorify you. If it means to walk on water, if it means to raise the dead or heal the sick or the blind, so that you are glorified, then so be it. But we pray for faith that says we seek rather after your glory than our own. Because a lot of people would get headstrong in that area. And so, Father, we need the trials, the tribulations, the good times, whatever it is, that'll change our characters to reflect and emulate your Son. So that if you call us to walk on water, we won't look upon ourselves. We won't even turn around and look back as Peter did at the apostles and say, you know, check me out kind of a thing. We'll keep our eyes on Christ. This is the faith we long for. This is the faith we strive for. Bless us as we come together. Thank you for being among us as we come together, as your word promises. Bridle my tongue and any tongue that may speak. And thank you for the word that gives us the truth that we so crave. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Who is the house? Ever think about that? This kind of reminds me of that one drawing that little kid did. What was that? Remember that? I got it hanging in my office. What was that little kid's name when we were up in the Chicago area at the Strike 2 Center? I can't remember his name. He drew this one drawing once, and he says, "I was inside the building, and it was a church, and in the church it looked okay, and there was a salt and pepper shaker next to me, because we used to praise the Lord even for the salt and pepper. We still do. long as you use it sparingly. I don't think you should be using pepper, though, to some extent, depending upon what type of pepper, of course. Some pepper's bad. And then I asked him, what's all that stuff on the outside of the building? He goes, it's a bad storm, it's rain, but it's not touching you. Because the house is built upon a rock. Who's the house? Well, we know who the house is, more or less. Because the word says, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house or his life upon the rock. Or what is the house, rather than who is the house? What is the house? It's your walk, it's your life. In 1 Corinthians 3:13, hold on, I got to get my Bible. Oh, no, I think it's 10:13. For some reason, the wrong verse was printed out here. Just give me a second here. It'll take me about a minute. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Whatever you're going through, it's allowed because you can handle it. Think of it this way. Remember when the devil was coming up by our Father, which art in heaven, and hallowed be thy name. He kept coming up there, and the Lord kept saying, have you considered my servant Job? He didn't even consider him, because, of course, he was a follower of God. And just picture it this way. Because the Lord gave the devil permission, but don't kill the man. Remember? There are certain situations in everyone's life that we can't handle. The devil wants to tempt us in those areas. The devil wants to slam us to the ground and just walk all over us and turn us into nothing but, you know, dust. He wants to grind us down. The Bible says that he's like a lion seeking about whom he can devour. And he'll do it the sneakiest ways. He's not going to just bluntly come up to you like a crazed lunatic with all sorts of weapons and start lashing out at you spiritually. He's, you know, and let you see him. He's going to sneak up to you in the form of your best friend or someone else close to you. Because it's always going to be somehow someone that's going to have to, you know, manipulate you. He's got to use people just like the Lord uses people. But think about that. The devil comes up into the kingdom, of course, and he wants to try this particular sin, or he wants to tempt you in this particular way or in that particular way, and the Lord says, no, my child will fall. My child can't handle that. Now, yes, I understand that my child's in sin, but my child doesn't realize it, and that's why I'm winking at my child's times of ignorance. That's mentioned twice in Scripture. And so, the devil finally comes up with a temptation that's extremely weak by his standards, and the Lord finally allows it. But, with that allotment, because we also, you know, the Bible says he'll not suffer you to be tempted above you are able. So the temptation is going to be something you can handle. And it says, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. So not only can you handle the temptation, you will see a way out, making it that much easier. And I can remember numerous times when I was first starting to realize I should be walking with Christ. And I started asking him for help. And I started getting into the Word. And I started getting these temptations. And I started seeing these open doors to get out, and how the temptations were getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and the doors were getting wider and wider and wider. And there was still times that I would still ignore the door and go ahead with the temptation. But I saw the way out. We've all, you don't lie to yourself, everybody's seen them. We've all seen them. We've all seen how the temptation really wasn't that difficult. I mean, look at Adam and Eve. Sister White says they weren't even hungry when they ate of that tree. Talk about an open door, a way out. They weren't even hungry. Okay, who's the rock? Well, that's a no-brainer when we're talking to Christians, because 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, they all drank of the same spiritual drink in the desert, for they drank that spiritual rock, that's the capillary, of course, that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So when we see the house that's built upon the rock, we understand this person's life is built upon Christ Jesus in this Matthew 7, verses 24 to 25. But what's the sand? Well, to put it in layman's terms, the sand is more or less dependence on self, dependence on your own traditions, dependence on mankind. Mark chapter 7, verses 6 to 8 says, "He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition or the sand of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." Sister White says in Desire of Ages on page 314, paragraph 3, she says, "Thus Christ set forth the principles of his kingdom and showed them to be the great rule of life. To impress the lessons, he adds an illustration. It is not enough, he says, for you to bear my words. By obedience, ye must make them the foundation, that rock of your character. Self is but shifting sand. If you build upon human theories and inventions, your house will fall. By the winds of temptation, the tempests of trial, it will be swept away. But these principles that I have given will endure. Receive me. Build on my words." And it never fails. What are the rain, the floods, and the winds that beat on the house? Well, crisis, trials, and temptations. John 16:33 also says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." But remember, again, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, so that you may be able to bear it." What is the purpose of these winds of crises that we all seem to be going through? Revelation 3, verse 10 says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." These winds of crises that we go through are to prepare us for a final test, or the ultimate test. A lot of us are going through trials and tribulations. Some of us aren't going through as many as others. Why? I'm not going to second-guess God. I don't know. Some of us may be going through more intense trials because there are things in the near future that we have to go through. And without being able to grasp onto the Lord in these little trials, because they are little compared to what we're all headed for, guaranteed, folks. I mean, Sister White is very blunt about that, as is the Scriptures about the time of Jacob's trouble. What we're looking into, what we're heading for right now, I mean, come on, 600 prison camps, concentration camps on U.S. soil right now. The Nazi machine has been rebuilt. The Vatican is back in power as it was in Hitler's day, but now it's got a little bit more oomph behind it. Or it's back in power as it was almost, as it was in Nero's day. Or during the Great Tribulation that Jesus spoke of, where 500 million Christians died between the years 538 A.D. to 1798 A.D. A number you just never hear mentioned on the news or in history books or anything. They're always talking about the 6 million Jews, 16 times less people. Granted, 6 million Jews is no small number, but 500 million Christians is what the Fox's Book of Martyrs is talking about during the years, for the 1,260 years, or the 42 months, or the time of times half a time. It's all 1,260 days, but Ezekiel 4:6 or Numbers 14:34 both say a day equals a year in prophecy. And it happened exactly as the prophecy stated, so we have confirmation that the day for the year issue is correct. because the Vatican did in fact come to power in 538 AD under the military protection of Belisarius, and in the exact year of 1798 AD, Berthier was sent in by Napoleon to take him out of business. The mortal wound was administered at that time, a little bit more heavily than it was in Luther's day. I mean, the guy, the Pope died in exile following November. But what amazes me is how the world tries to hide that fact. No one seems to know about the 500 million Christians. That's why they keep saying there's a seven-year trip coming. A lot of people are going to die. Well, yeah, a lot of people are going to die, but it's nothing compared to what happened during the Great Tribulation. If those days had not been shortened, as Jesus said, no one would have been spared. And the days were shortened down to 1,260 days, or years, as the prophecy stated. All those tests that you have passed, all those trials and tribulations that you've come through and grown in Christ will help you. And you need to pass these tests because you're going to need this kind of stuff for when the days come ahead. The stuff we're headed for is going to be 10 times worse than what we're going through now. So that's one of the reasons you saw Paul singing in prison cells. If you fail the test, you're going to have to go through it again anyway. He loves you that much. He wants you to be ready. Your reward is to be kept from the hour of temptation that no one on this planet is going to be able to handle without Christ. This is one of the reasons they're keeping the Bibles out of people's hands. This is one of the reasons you see bogus Bibles. That's why there's 2,000 verses missing from most of the Bibles. Because Amos chapter 8, verse 11 talks about that famine in today's world. And it's not a famine of thirst or meat. It's, hearing the words of the Lord. And what's the end result of not hearing the words of the Lord? Well, there's no faith. If you have no faith, the hour of temptation comes anyway. You can't stop that. The hour of temptation is going to come. You couldn't stop all the other prophecies that came true. Why do people seem to think that their second coming can be stopped? Sister White says in Great Controversy, page 560, those who oppose the teachings of spiritualism are assailing, not men alone, but Satan and his angels. They have entered upon a contest against principalities and powers and wicked spirits in high places. Satan will not yield one inch of ground except as he is driven back by the power of heavenly messengers. The people of God should be able to meet him, as did our Savior, with the words, "It is written." Now think about that for a second. Let me stop there. If you have not read your Bible, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, if you're one of those that Amos speaks of, how are you going to say it is written? How are you going to know that, oh, that ain't going to work with me, Satan, because I know it is written that this, 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 or that is my promise, from my Heavenly Father to claim. Take the state of the dead, for example. I'm praying for a method by which to shorten my state of the dead page on the website and make it into a 15-minute video because of what is going on in the world with the spiritualism. People are actually believing when they wake up in the middle of the night at 4 o'clock in the morning and they see their dead grandmother sitting at the edge of their bed smelling like her with the language of her and the body language rather and even the speech inflections. Everything that she did, it looks just like her. And she knows things about them personally. They believe it's her. But had they read their Bible, they would have known it is written in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23, that she's in the grave, waiting for that eastern sky to split. And the reason this dead grandma knows all about you and your innermost thoughts and stuff that you shared with only your grandmother 20 years ago is because these demons are super beings. They're supernatural beings. They're angels. Fallen, yes, but angels nonetheless. They can read the Bible from cover to cover one time, and it's memorized. They can read you very easily like a book. They've been at your side since birth. They've been at your grandmother's side since birth. So when grandma dies, all the demon has to do is to remind you of things that it knows happened 20 years ago, down to the letter. Going on, it says, Satan could quote Scripture now as in the days of Christ, and he will pervert its teachings to sustain his delusions. Those who would stand in this time of peril must understand for themselves the testimonies of the Scriptures. Many will be confronted by the spirits of devils, personating beloved relatives or friends and declaring the most dangerous heresies. These visitants will appeal to our tenderest sympathies and will work miracles to sustain their pretensions. We must be prepared to withstand them with the Bible truth that the dead know not anything and that they who thus appear are the spirits of devils. I mean, there are a lot of scriptures that speak about the state of the dead, what they are doing, or better yet, what they're not doing right now. They don't even know they're dead. That's one of the beauties. That's what we were talking about when Luke was sick. The only way that I could comfort some of the family members and myself was to let everybody know, says, look, if he dies, it's a piece of cake for him. Death is a snack. It's like falling asleep. For Luke, it's no big deal. For anybody, it's no big deal to die. The rough part of death is those left behind that are still alive when they grieve. We miss him or miss her or whoever. That's where death is difficult for those left behind, because the person that died doesn't even know they're dead. They're thinking, okay, I'm just going to take a nap real quick because this really hurts and it's really bothering me. I'm going to sleep and hopefully when I wake up, everything will be better. But they just died. They don't know that. People did believe that they were alive in heaven or hell, even in the Apostles' day, and that's why you see what happens in the book of Acts, where they had to explain that David has not yet ascended into the heavens, because they thought David was going to be in heaven at that time, because David is headed there. Out of his own lineage comes Christ, the family line. But yet, the apostle had to tell them point blank in the book of Acts that he's still in the grave. His sepulchre is still with us to this day. Going on, in page 560 of the Great Controversy, it says, just before us in the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth, Revelation 3:10 again, all whose faith is not firmly established upon the word of God will be deceived and overcome. Satan works with all deceivableness of unrighteousness to gain control of the children of men, and his deceptions will continually increase. But he can gain his object only as men voluntarily yield to his temptations. Those who are earnestly seeking a knowledge of the truth and are striving to purify their souls through obedience, thus doing what they can to prepare for the conflict, will find in the God of truth a sure defense. And so it's not just the state of the dead situation here either. It's employment. It's your friendships with others. It could even be love life. You know, you could have a spouse that's going off the deep end and not wanting Christ anymore. You could even have a child in that respect. But your prayers are heard. If you're a child of the living God, he's in your corner here. It may be a little difficult to understand or to trust him right now because it's not happening instantaneously. But it's amazing how over the course of a few months or a few years sometimes, you know, he turns it around. And the child or the spouse or the loved one or whatever the case may be, or even the employment, comes back. Finishing this up, she goes on to say, of course, quoting from Revelation, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee. Is the Savior's promise. That is the Savior's promise. That's why you're tested. Are you going to trust him? He wants to make sure you're going to trust him. Because something really, really, as in today's language says, is pretty hairy headed your way. Will you be able to handle it? He throws these small tribulations towards your way. He would sooner send, now listen to this, he would sooner send every angel out of heaven to protect his people than leave one soul that trusts in him to be overcome by Satan. You can't beat this as a faith booster, knowing that even if you're just one, because this was one of my problems in my early walk. I mean, I believed everything that I saw in the scriptures, I just didn't believe it was for me. I thought, okay, that's for those water walkers out there. That's for those people, the preachers and the pastors and, you know, ministers and whatnot. And those Christians that seem to be, you know, a lot more gentle than I am. Until I realized that every promise is for every one of us individually. It's all there for us. Quit letting the devil convince you that there are certain parts of the Bible that are not for you. That just makes no sense. You're a human just like the next person. Is it not written that your God is not a respecter of persons anyway? Why are you? We need the trials and we need the tribulations in life to get us ready for the days ahead. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5 says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they weary thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, because we're not really at war, well, we are at war, but not on our own soil kind of a thing. This thing you see going on in Iraq isn't war. It's a business decision. He goes on to say, if in the land of peace, wherein thou trust, they weary thee, then how will it do in the swelling of the Jordan? In other words, if you can't run the race successfully now, just when, you know, against each other, you know, against your neighbor, if you can't walk with Christ without letting that peer pressure get to you, in other words, if you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to run with the horses? And look at the other toss of the coin. If you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to be able to handle it when supernatural demons are allowed free rein in the hour of temptation when the Lord steps back? You're not. You're going to be consumed like a vapor. Great controversy again, moving down to page 619, she says, though God's people will be surrounded by enemies who are bent upon their destruction, yet the anguish which they suffer is not a dread of persecution for the truth's sake. Now, I love this, because this is the case. When you get as close as you can get to Christ, this kind of stuff comes to mind. Continuing, that which they suffer is not a dread of persecution. In other words, what mankind is threatening with, even if it's the burn at the stake. Okay? They fear that every sin has not been repented of, and that through some fault in themselves, they will fail to realize the fulfillment of the Savior's promise. I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. Revelation 3:10. If they could have the assurance of pardon, they would not shrink from torture or death. But should they prove unworthy and lose their lives because of their own defects of character, then God's holy name would be reproached. When you get a walk like that, when you get to the point where it says death doesn't scare you, it's like offending your father. Did I repent of all those sins? That's what scares you the most. On page 636, she says in the same book, by the people of God, a voice, clear and melodious, is heard saying, look up. In lifting their eyes to the heavens, they behold the bow of promise. The black, angry clouds that cover the firmament are parted. And like Stephen, you know, the first martyr, they look up steadfastly into heaven and see the glory of God and the Son of Man seated upon his throne. In his divine form, they discern the marks of his humiliation. And from his lips, they hear the request presented before his Father and the holy angels. In other words, Jesus says the following from John 17, verse 24. He looks to his Father and he says, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Again, a voice, musical and triumphant, is heard saying, they come, holy, harmless, and undefiled. They have kept the word of my patience. They shall walk among the angels, and the pale, quivering lips of those who held fast their faith utter a shout of victory. It is at midnight that God manifests his power for the deliverance of his people. Think about that. You know, it's at the darkest point. Like I always like to say, you know, he usually gives you the ticket when the train pulls in the station. A lot of people have a lack of faith in that area. They're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and they say, okay, well, the Lord's not answering my prayer, so I'm going to go out and do it myself. Hey, look, it's not even going to happen. Like for example, this loved one that was having a situation where in 2 weeks he had to come up with a certain amount of money or he's going to get evicted. And he's getting all scared and worried. That's 2 weeks from now. You know, a lot can happen in 24 hours, let alone 2 weeks. You know, when you have those kind of experiences, it's very easy to relate. Because I've seen it happen many times where we're up against the wall. We're thinking, that's it. Tomorrow we're going to be eating dust. And that's all we'll have. Or tomorrow we're going to be living on the curb, all 10 of us. It got pretty bad sometimes. We were almost homeless one time. The Today has enough problems of its own. Don't worry about today. I mean, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough problems. It could happen that fast. For example, your employment can change just as fast as you got fired. Forget about that. A lot of people, they always, it's just like with health. All of a sudden you're sick, and then all of a sudden you're healed. It's just like all of a sudden you're fired, and all of a sudden you're hired. I mean, people think that, oh, it's going to take forever to get a job. Why? It was it took a split second to lose one. You know, they don't realize that, you know, things can disappear just as quickly as they can appear. She goes on to say, the sun appears, shining in its strength. Signs and wonders follow in quick succession. The wicked look with terror and amazement upon the scene, while the righteous behold with solemn joy the tokens of their deliverance. Of course, he's speaking about that eastern sky splitting. And we're standing there. Everything in nature seems turned out of its course. The streams cease to flow. Dark, heavy clouds come up and clash against each other. In the midst of the angry heavens is one clear place of indescribable glory. And she is being very accurate here when she's saying it's indescribable because no eye has seen, no ear heard. I mean, you just can't describe it. Is one clear place of indescribable glory, whence comes the voice of God like the sound of many waters, saying, "It is done." Revelation 16, verse 17. The trials that we are in now are well worth it. So many look at the training on a job as worth it because the reward is a good pay and a better life, right? They go through months and months of training on the job, training or whatever the case may be. You know, it's so much worth it because I'll get a better paycheck and, you know, I'll be able to buy that car or that house I want or whatever. But we need to look at our lives in the same way. The Lord is offering us something here that no billionaire employer can offer. He's offering us eternal life in a kingdom that never ages, where you have a mansion and the gold you're scraping and beating and chilling down here to get is the pavement up there. Literally under your feet. It's gone. It's no longer an issue. You don't worry about careers up there. Your fondest ambition will be realized. Yes, it says in the scriptures. We did a study or a sermon a while ago on heaven. We know that our fondest ambition will be realized. And I'm not talking about, you know, like say a Britney Spears type ambition to get up there and no, that the vulgar stuff is not allowed, so that the devil's not going to rear his ugly head a second time, it says in the Word. What's your real ambition? Because even girls like Britney Spears and all the rest out there, they have something they were created to do. They're just not doing it, that's all. But by the grace of God, they're going, aye. You know, you could be up on that stage too, going through the same. And could it be she's having a, you know, is the Lord dealing with her right now? Is this why she's going a little off the deep end, shaving her head, doing all this strange stuff? Is guilt hitting her? Hopefully, yes. Hopefully someone is praying for that little girl. Hopefully we are praying for that little girl. All of them out there. Look at that one kid. What is that? That one guy that with the two different color eyeballs and the weird, what's his name? Marilyn Manson? I don't know if you people are aware of this, but he was a Seventh-day Adventist. He was raised a Seventh-day Adventist. That's what I heard. And now, when you put in the word Antichrist in YouTube, because I did that because my video was on YouTube, but you got to put Antichrist and then Pope to find me quicker. If you just put Antichrist, you'll eventually get to my video, but you'll have to go through a string of videos from Marilyn Manson. And then, of course, a bunch of weird videos about Bill Gates being in the Antichrist or whatever, you know, or an ashtray being the Antichrist. I mean, they come up with some really wild stuff on there. But so, your house is getting beaten down right now, whether it's physical, financial, spiritual, whatever the case may be. We're all going through it. We're all going through it together for a reason, because we need on-the-job training. We need this. If we don't go through this, we're not going to be able to know what's going to happen tomorrow. So be joyful in this and say, thank you, Father. Thank you for this. I need this. I want to walk on water. I want to, you know, see the dead raised. And I don't want to do it because I want to walk on it. I want you glorified for it. Think about this too. Do you have a bunch of loved ones that look up to you, or even if they don't look up to you, do you have a bunch of people you love and you know that all of them aren't walking with Christ as they should, but they're on the verge? Are they going to need someone in the days ahead to help direct them to safer areas when we can't buy and sell? I mean, we really don't know what the situation is going to be like until it actually gets here. But wouldn't you want to be able to help somebody that you love? You're not going to be able to do that unless you have that faith. So can we change the foundations during the time of crisis? Because a lot of people have their foundations of their house on sand right now. They want it on rock. Yeah, you could change the foundation, but the main purpose for the trial is to reveal who you really are. Will you stand or will you fall? You need to fall sometimes to get up, back up again. I don't know how many times I've fallen down during trials and tribulations and collapsed in despair or whatever over the years, only to get up and say, thank you for forgiving me for that, and I know it's going to happen again. I need more strength because I want to pass this trial. This is why the Lord allows these small winds of crisis to blow on us right now, because the big one's coming. It's to show our condition, these little winds. It's to let us know who we really are. I praise the Lord that during trials, you find out traits of your character you never knew before. I wish I would have dug up that quote from Ellen White about that, but she so perfectly describes it about how it isn't until you really get up against that wall and have a really trying situation that you really find out, do you really trust God? You know, because we never really had a situation in this family until what happened with Luke. And so a lot of us had our faith tested and found out, wow, I really do trust him. Because I remember years ago when we were first married and my oldest daughter got extremely ill when she was like a year old, I think. I don't know how old she was. But she got so hot, the temperature was so high, she got the DTs, as they call it. She thought there were spiders all over her body. At that time, I was a devout Catholic. And I was just starting to step out of the church and starting to get into the Word. And at that time, when I saw what happened with Jillian, and she was in her mother's arms and we were getting ready to take her to the hospital, all of a sudden she starts screaming hysterical about all the spiders all over her body. And she's smacking them, you know, trying to kill them. I shook my fist at God that day. What a change. What a difference. I praise his name for that. I praise his name for all those trials that I went through for the last 22 years. Because without those trials, I never would have been able to handle what happened to us recently and what happened to us last week or what happened yesterday or even what happened a few minutes ago. Soon, there's not going to be any time to change that foundation. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. Why? They're seeking the word of the Lord because it's going to be that bad during the time of Jacob's trouble, even for the wicked. And some of them that claim Christ Lord are going to be confused about what's going on, and they're going to be scared because they always believed in the seven-year trib and their secret rapture, and they shouldn't be here right now when this stuff's going down. And so they're seeking the word of God, but they can't find it. Why? Because they never really looked for it before. God isn't a God of foxholes only. When it's fair weather, you're supposed to be walking with him too. A lot of people don't bother going towards him until it gets insane. Everyone will realize their need for God at that time. Sadly, for the majority, it'll be too late. The only ones that are going to get their prayers answered on that day is us. Those of us that are alive during that time. Sadly, Jeremiah 8:20 says, they're going to echo the words that the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. They're going to know. At the time of the end, when the big storm comes, we will respond as we do right now. How do we respond during the trials now is going to dictate how we're going to respond to those trials in the future. Sure, they're going to be 10 times worse, but then our faith is going to be 10 times stronger. Because we do pray for that latter rain. But it's in proportion to the faith we've already had. Suck it up now. stand firm right now. It'll be a lot much easier for you when the next trial comes, and it'll be far easier for you when the final one comes. And how can our house have that rock foundation? Revelation 14, verse 12 gives the key. Here is the patience. Remember that? Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So many think that, all I got to do is be a Christian and believe that's all I got to do. Well, James 2:19 says the devils believe and tremble. So if you think that only believing in Jesus is going to get you to heaven, you're wrong. Because the devils believe. They even said, you are the Holy One. What are you doing here before the appointed time? When they spoke to those people that were possessed that he cast out. So many people think you don't have to keep the commandments of God. Revelation 3:10 again. Remember the patience of the saints? Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. In closing, Hebrews 4, verse 7 says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. But we pray that you were blessed about what you heard this day. Are we going to sing? Solid Rock. Number 340 in the room. If it's in there, I'm pretty sure it is. Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ my solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant and his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ my solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpets round, holy and in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ my solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
If you can kneel, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with truth. Thank you for coming into our lives, and thank you for watering the seeds that those Christians planted many years ago that caused us to look out to you for salvation. Bless us, Father, in the days ahead with the strength and the courage of Christ. Thank you again for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. Thank you for blessing those that are on our prayer list with answered prayer. There's so many requests, Father. Sicknesses, salvation issues, employment issues, spiritual, physical, and financial. We ask for blessings in those areas, for those on our prayer list and those that help us too, because we need to continue the work. And thank you for keeping it safe too, because there are many attacks upon the work. They're trying to stop it again in every way that they can muster up. So thank you for keeping us safe during the time, as well as trusting you. Thank you for the trial. We need it, and we thank you for it, because we know the next one's going to be a little rougher, and we need to be able to handle it. And thank you for the breather times in between, because we know in the days ahead we're not going to have much time in between trials. We pray that you bless us on the remainder of the Sabbath day and give us a blessed week ahead. In Jesus' name we pray.